Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened, your tray table is in an upright and locked position, and that you are ready to get weird and think different. Please prepare for takeoff. Today is Wednesday. It is June 30th, and we're back with another episode of Destination Different. So you know, I always start the show out. I always got something to say before we get into the guest, and like always, I have something to say here at the top. Apple is a scam. Apple is a scam. What I mean by that is that I just received my second Apple Pencil. I like to dabble. I like to draw. I have an iPad. It's been great to have an Apple Pencil. You can doodle. You can write notes on things. It's a fabulous tool. But nobody tells you when you get the Apple Pencil that if you don't plug it in for more than 3 or 4 weeks, the thing just dies. So I had been moving. All this is going on. I hadn't touched the Apple Pencil. Hadn't been drawing. Just been sitting on my desk. Figured I'd be able to just plug it in, charge it up when it's time to use it. No. If you don't use it for like 3 weeks, the thing dies. So I had to go through this whole rigmarole, send back the dead Apple Pencil, get a new Apple Pencil. I've got one now. That's all that matters. Apple's a scam. With that Apple Pencil, I've been, doing some drawing. I wouldn't say I'm good by any stretch, but I like to doodle. I use Procreate on the iPad. And I'm loosely acquainted with how things work on Photoshop and design and all that. So I am working on trying to figure out what the first piece of Destination Different merch should be. Destination Different wearables. I've already got stickers. Stickers of the logo. I've got those. Somebody made those for me. They're great. I love them. But I feel like I need something that I can wear, that I can send to guests to wear. Just something very simple. I'm not looking to build out an entire merch brand. I'm not looking for that. I want something very simple, a t-shirt, a hat. A hoodie almost seems even too fancy. Something very basic that I can wear, that I can send to guests, that they can, if they so choose, proudly rock the Destination Different podcast as well. So I've been messing around with a few ideas. But my ask here at the top of the show, while I still have your attention, if anybody has any ideas of what I should, what I could make as a design, as a logo, as a piece of Angry Orchard, that's my day job, as a piece of Destination Different merch, send it my way. I'd love to hear it. Could be a character, could be a take on the design, it could be a podcast thing, I don't know what it could be. Send it my way. I'm looking to make one thing, just one thing, get something that I can wear on my body to proudly represent the Destination Different podcast. And I have absolutely no segue to take us into our guests, but that's my ask for the top before I get into who we've got on this show. I'm very, very, very excited to introduce the guest this week. He is the founder of the Morning Blitz newsletter and now the head of content at Torch Pro. His name is Danny Healy. And I probably could have interviewed him for 6 hours. So the Morning Blitz, Danny started it with a couple of buddies as they were in college and then coming out of college. Danny was working other jobs in finance, then switched over and was working at ESPN. And the Morning Blitz is basically a morning newsletter. It gives you every piece of information that you could possibly want to know from the prior day in sports. So basketball, football, baseball, hockey, tennis, golf, soccer, you name it, it is in the Morning Blitz newsletter. And over the last 2-3 years, the Morning Blitz has grown to become one of the biggest daily sports newsletters in the whole world. And when Danny told me that, I was like, that it can't be possible. That seems crazy. There are so many people out there that make sports content. That's wild. But the more you think about it, there just is not a ton of people who are creating newsletters with highlights and short stories and these little packages of information And Danny has carved out a niche with the Morning Blitz. He describes it as being Sports Center in your inbox, can read through the whole thing in 5 minutes. And I think that's fascinating. So we talked about how he has built this media business to the point where they actually were acquired in February of this year by Torch Pro, the company that he now works for, and how those two ecosystems have now joined forces to, you know, continue to build out an even bigger media company within those worlds. And so we talked about that. We talked about his relationship with some of the pro athletes within the Torch Pro world. We talked about how he got on the radar of Dana White and now has Dana White, the head of the UFC, coming to their NFL Morning Blitz NFL draft parties. We talked about how he has not missed a single day of publishing the Morning Blitz in 2+ years of managing this newsletter. And if there's one thing that I took away from this entire interview, it's that one, Danny is, okay, I said there was one thing, it's two things. One, Danny is incredibly passionate, committed, talented, consistent, disciplined, all of those things. And two, he has a vision for where this thing is going that is, they're just scratching the surface, I think, of what the Morning Blitz could possibly be. So we talked about all that. I'll shut up now because we got to get into this show. I'm so excited to introduce you to Danny Healy, the founder of Morning Blitz and head of content at Torch Pro. Hope you enjoy.
Question of what do you want to be when you grow up just gave me anxiety. So I just continued to do networking in the finance world and basically landed as an intern at Aon, which is an insurance broker. They have over 50,000 employees worldwide. So it's a massive company. And took the internship my junior year. And so that summer I was in New York and I enjoyed it. It was a 6-week or 10-week program. Really enjoyed being in the city. I enjoyed people I was working with. But I wasn't really worried too much about the day-to-day. I was just kind of enjoying life. And so when they offered me the full-time job after the conclusion of the internship, I accepted it. And so the reason I accepted it, I had more time to do things my senior year. I just didn't want to deal with having that extra class of trying to find a job. So I just kind of settled. And then that was 4 months later after graduation was the end of my career down in the corporate world in Wall Street.
And so what made you, I know you went to ESPN at that point and you kind of got into the media world. So it seems like it was like a pretty quick switch, but had you already started doing your own thing or were you just like, I need to change of pace. I want to get into sports how did that go about?
Yeah. So flashing back a little bit, now I'm in my senior year at Colgate. And as I mentioned, I had a little more time on my hands. And so I wanted to dive into the things that I enjoyed doing. I was a lacrosse player, so a lot of my extra time was put towards that, but I didn't have to search for that job, like I said. So I put my energy towards a podcast I actually started on campus at the radio station through the school. And it was with one of my best friends on the team. And every single Wednesday night, we kind of went to the studio on campus. And it was like, I don't know if you've seen First Take, but very much that kind of style. So I'm from Boston, he's from New York, and we basically agreed to disagree on every single sports topic we could think of. And we just had a ton of fun with it. It was an hour show every week, but we took it pretty seriously. We prepared well for it, and we felt like we put out a good product. So really, that was my senior spring as lacrosse season was going on.
And did you guys like build any momentum with the podcast? Like you had listenership on campus?
Yeah, totally. So it's like kind of the FM radio station that you could tune into. I don't know what we were doing for numbers, but we had people listening. Maybe it was just my parents and our teammates, but we had people listening. We created an Instagram page that was pretty fun. So kind of dove into that world of building a brand on social media. It was fun. We had some listeners for sure. So we were going along the process and one of the listeners actually was one of my best friends growing up. We went to high school together in Massachusetts and he approached me and he kind of was subscribed to all these political newsletters, finance newsletters, whatever it may be. And he approached me with the idea that there's kind of a space for a sports newsletter. He hadn't found that one dominant player and kind of the right style or fit or tone that he was really looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to me with the idea, and we actually started the product together, and we just dove right into it. I think that was a big part of my entrepreneurial journey is the say yes mentality. And that's not just saying yes to a boss, but more saying yes to like an opportunity, like this newsletter. So we just dove right in. We started the whole foundation of how you start a newsletter, what services you use, like the template and whatnot. And we put out a product for a few months that was not good. It was pretty bad, but we were giving like hot takes like we were on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so we quickly realized after a few surveys and talking to our subscribers, like that was not the product they wanted. What they really wanted is just an informational newsletter that kind of kept them up to date on everything that was happening in the world of sports and the previous day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how we curated it. After some time, we shaped into the template we really wanted. And what we like to say is that the Morning Blitz is what the newsletter was called. The Morning Blitz is SportsCenter in an email. So for all those people that don't watch TV anymore, the cable cord cutters, whatever it may be, there's this now central place in your inbox every morning that just kind of gives you that quick rundown. So that was kind of the format. And that's kind of the project that turned in from the podcast now to a newsletter that I was doing in my real life after graduation at night,
mm-hmm.
after working a day on and all that stuff. So yeah, that's kind of what took up most of my nights and really tried to grow the newsletter as large as possible.
That's awesome. So it's amazing that the name stayed the same from the outset. Was the brand always pretty consistent throughout of like, okay, this is kind of going to be the, I mean, obviously those first couple months, it sounds like you were trying to find your voice a little bit.
Totally.
But how did you settle on like the Morning Blitz? Like, where did that name come from? What were some of those early conversations like of like, this is the future, this is what we're going to do out of this newsletter. Like, how did that start between you and it's Austin, right? Is your co-founder?
Yep. Austin Smith. So Austin, he was a big part. I think I can give him the credit for coming up with the Morning Blitz name. But a lot of it goes into finding a name for companies hard. It's really, really hard. And it came down to just like what was available on social media for in terms of like tags and usernames. And then also URLs, like what was available. And we weren't going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a really mainstream URL, which is what they cost these days. The URL world is like real estate business these days.
It's crazy.
So I'll give Austin credit for the Morning Blitz. I honestly can't remember. It was a lot of back and forth. We're massive, massive football fans.
Mm-hmm.
So we liked the Blitz. We liked kind of the morning. It was a morning news. It comes out at 5:30 a.m. every single day. And it's kind of like that wake up call. So we just felt it had some energy to it. That's what always we wanted within our brand is like energy and having fun. We wanted that to be a huge part of the voice that you see today, still in the newsletter. So it's been going now for, I think, 2.5 years, and it's had pretty much the same voice. And so I think people like it. People are still subscribing and reading and opening every day. But that's kind of the foundation of the brand.
I'm always curious from people's like starting off stories. So you get this thing going, you're kind of doing the hot takes type of strategy of what you were doing on the podcast. And I've been so impressed, like as I've researched into you, of like all these iterations and experiments and like things that you guys have tried on social or YouTube or, you know, interviews, different stuff like that. But those first couple months, at what point did you know like, oh, this is not working? You said you send out surveys, but was there like an internal dialogue of like, we got to change something here?
Yeah, honestly, it was those surveys. The customer feedback was huge for us. We wanted to listen to our audience. We wanted to hear what they wanted. And we quickly realized that they didn't care about who we thought was going to win the Super Bowl. They cared who won the game before, like the night before. So a lot of credit goes to those surveys. We really just tried to listen to our customers.
Mm-hmm. And at those early days, like, are we talking hundreds? Are we talking thousands? Are we talking a couple dozens? Like, what were your numbers like in those? Early times.
Yeah. So I think in the first few months, it was all friends and family, word of mouth. To this day, we don't have paid marketing behind the product. It's all cross promotional campaigns and word of mouth. And so I think we were in the world of like maybe 300 people for those first 3 months sending the newsletter. And I think one of the things that helped us get to where we are today and being able to do this full time is being consistent and not missing a single day of sending out the letter. So I think it was March of 2019, we started it, and every single day we've sent out a newsletter that we haven't missed. That's not a holiday. And so that's every weekday. So Monday through Friday, we like to have our fun on the weekends and enjoy. So, but I think that's the biggest thing that I've been proud about. And that doesn't just come credit to me. We've had an amazing team of, we've really utilized the network of interns. They have been massive, massive, massive to our success. And so I think just the biggest thing early on was continuing to put out a product every single day, people waking up, seeing in their inbox, be like, okay, Danny, Austin, these guys, they mean business. So they're not just here to just have fun with it, but they actually mean business.
I'm so curious about that. So in the early days, is it just the two of you writing every single day?
So it was myself, Austin Smith, who I went to high school with, Noah Cartwright, who now today is taking on the role full time with me, and we've stuck together the longest. Mm-hmm. But Noah played lacrosse with me at Colgate as well. So he was a teammate. I pulled him in.
The same guy that was the podcast guy, or different
no, teammate? Different guy. Podcast guy was involved. And then my other friend, Tommy Valis. So that was the core five early on. And then so with Noah, I just knew he was a superstar writer in college. He was super smart. He was a passionate kid, super hardworking. And to this day, he's been amazing to work with. And so I think it was Noah and I early on doing a lot of the writing. Austin was doing a lot of the strategy with where we stake the brand and whatnot. Tommy doing a lot of kind of brand partnerships, reaching out to cross-promotional, things like that. And so we all had our different lanes, and we tried to stay pretty true to them. And so we over the past few years, like I guess last year, Austin decided to go. He was just too much for him and decided to take his job full time. He works in the finance world. Mm-hmm. Tommy, the same thing, works in the finance world. And then Matt, who I also started the podcast with, works in the finance world. And they wanted to do their thing full time. And so Noah and I kind of stuck. We were the two that kind of stuck with it to the end. And that's where we are today. Noah's working a full-time job in investment banking at EY. And when he made the jump full-time, that's kind of the career he gave up to come and work for the Morning Post.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. Yeah. And then tell me a bit about these interns that you've brought along and like how that process has been. I see, you know, you guys on Instagram do the intern spotlights, but how long have you had interns? At what point did you bring them on? Are you paying them? Like, how did that program sort of get rolling?
Right. We knew we needed some more help. So we used kind of, I don't know the service, but Handshake is what it's called. So you put out on Handshake, like a job listing, and it goes to the college job boards. And basically it was just sports media internship available, Morning Blitz. And that's a pretty like sexy internship for a young kid in college. And so we've got a ton, like hundreds of hits. And so we took as many phone calls as we possibly could that were interviews to say. And I think that first kind of summer, so summer of 2019, we took on something like 60 interns. And so it was a very informal program. We kind of took it as far as they want to take it. And so after about 5 weeks, we realized, okay, this is way too much. And so we settled on like the 10 guys and girls that were kind of most passionate about what they were doing. And we're like, okay, we're going to work with you guys. And to this day, over a year plus, we have, I think, 10 interns. Those same 10 interns are still working with us. They are unpaid. They just love the grind of sports media and helping out. And again, I can't credit to where we are today without those guys as well. So they've been huge to our success. They go in, they all have their own different interests in sports. And they kind of, so we have our NBA guy, we have our NFL guy, hockey guy, and they'll go in and attack that different aspect of the letter every single night.
Oh, that's awesome. And so now I want to talk about like the process of actually building the newsletter. Right. So maybe to start in the early days, you know, maybe it's just you and Austin writing or whoever is kind of, you know, writing the core newsletter. Are you staying up till, you know, if a West Coast, you know, Western Conference final is going late on a Tuesday night, are you staying up till 2 a.m. watching that, finishing the newsletter to get it out at 5:30 every morning?
Yeah, it kind of gives me nightmares thinking back. Still to this day, we do the same thing. But yeah, that's the grind. There's no question that it's been a long, lot of sleepless nights. I think early on and still, whenever there's that 2 a.m. playoff game on the West Coast that we need to update our subscribers about, we have someone staying up that late. Mm-hmm. So whether it's myself, Noah, the interns, someone's doing it and they know it has to get done. But yeah, so I guess the grind has been when it got to the real world, I was working 9 to 5, would come home, kind of debrief, get some food in my system. And then from 6:30 to 2 a.m. is Morning Blitz time. And so just working on whatever we need to get done, whether it's writing, whether it's talking to other brands, talking to people. But yeah, the grind is real. And getting the newsletter out at 5:30 every day, that's kind of why I said I'm most proud of it, because there's been those 2 a.m. nights a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. And why 5:30? Was that just like arbitrary, like this is the time it's got to go out?
Yeah, we did some research around it in the world of newsletters, and we saw some higher open rates around that time. So that's kind of where we settled on with 5:30. We've had conversations about pushing it back, and kind of that would help solve a little bit of our late night issue. But mm-hmm. We've seen a ton of activity, surprisingly, in that 5:30 to like 6:30 window.
Mm-hmm. And is there like an editorial process? Is everybody just dumping stuff in a Google Doc, or like, you know, just scribbling chicken scratch on a piece of paper and emailing it? Like, what is the process of bringing it all into one email start to look like?
Yeah. So what it's called is an ESP, an email service provider. And so we use this system, and it kind of stinks because like in Google Docs, you can go all in at one time and have 15 people contributing to the same document. With this server, you can only use one at a time. So you have to say who's going in and when you're out of the letter, or else your stuff that you do doesn't save. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so everyone will go into that newsletter, kind of do what they do. And then myself and one of the other interns today, we're the ones kind of staying up until 1:30, 2 o'clock to make sure there's no errors and whatever it may be. And still to this day, we have errors. We have a lot of errors sometimes, but it is what it is. And we just got to fight through it. But that's kind of the process. We'll go through, scrub kind of errors, fix this letter to make their same voice and have that mm-hmm. consistent voice and format every single day. But that's kind of the process.
That's awesome. And like now that you've started, you know, you built the process, you kind of have a team around you starting to, you know, contribute to this. It's not just on your shoulders exclusively to like build it out. How have you now thought about pushing or building the brand? Like, is it still, it seems like the newsletter is always going to be at the core of it, but like, how have you thought about kind of expanding the tentacles of the Morning Blitz brand into like other places?
Yeah, totally. And so I think that goes in the conversation of what we had now and where we are today with Torch Bro. So now we take it full time after a year at ESPN of those late nights, like I was talking about. And we were really looking for our next step. I never really got into the Morning Blitz to write a newsletter for the rest of my life, but I always knew and stuck with it because I knew it would find me to that next step in my career mm-hmm. and put me in conversations that I wouldn't have otherwise. And so that's kind of why I stuck to it. And so you flash forward 2 years from the onset of the first blitz we sent out, and now it's January 2021, and we're talking to Torch Pro, which was formerly known as Company 39, which was a small sports media company out of Manchester, New Hampshire. And they were looking for their next move as well in terms of branding the company and growing. And so we got connected through Tommy Valis, who was actually one of the founders of the Blitz with us, one of those first five guys. Mm-hmm. And his full-time job now is working for this VC in Manchester. And so this VC in Manchester, York IE, had now invested in Company 39. And so that's kind of when the conversation started with Company 39. And we realized that there is now a real chance of going full time with the Morning Blitz and taking this opportunity to the next level. And so we talked to a few media companies about being acquired. And really it came down to a lot of people were offering just kind of bring the Blitz under their umbrella and make us full time employees again and not have much say in the company. Mm-hmm. And that is the last thing that we wanted. We were trying to avoid and kind of maintain this entrepreneurial lifestyle. And so that's why we also fell in love with the founder of Company 39, Matt Forentaro. And so today, Torch Pro is what the company rebranded into after we brought Morning Blitz under the umbrella of Company 39. And Torch Pro, what they do is they work with professional athletes to build up their personal brands beyond the playing surface, whether that's NHL, that's currently where we're focused right now, but we're looking to expand into other sports. So yeah, we really focus on content creation with each athlete. We have a consumer platform, torchpro.com, that we like to say revolutionizes the way that pro athletes and fans interact. And so today, how the Morning Blitz has kind of evolved to get to your question is now we're backed by pro athletes. Joe Pavelski is a co-founder as well of mm-hmm. Torch Pro. And so we now have our conversation of the Blitz brand being kind of a part of pro athletes. And so what I do in the company now is work with the pro athletes as head of content to kind of work on their content marketing game plan. It's like an athlete will come in. What's our next step with them? How are we taking their brand to the next level? And that really starts with aligning around a singular purpose. Mm-hmm. And so we align around that purpose. Then we build this game plan. We call it an oak tree of how they go in different various ways. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of my day job, I guess, today. And then I also still do Blitz at night. So it kind of still acts as that night job and kind of side grind, but it's all under the same roof. And so that's kind of how it's evolved from a newsletter now to working with pro athletes. And that's kind of what makes me so excited every day to get up and keep doing it.
That's awesome. Okay. So I have a lot of questions.
On that. Sure. Cause it's a confusing little story. That's
no, I mean, I think it's interesting, but like, you know, were you guys looking, did you get to a point where you're like, okay, I can't keep this grind going on the side for only so long. Like we need to get either bought out or we need to merge or we need to figure out how to make this. Was that like the initial thinking of like, we're going to start to look around?
Yeah, 100%. So when we started to look around, we were kind of getting that burnout feeling that a lot of entrepreneurs have with whatever they're building. And so we just tried to stick to it. And we around that mid-fall of last year in 2020, when COVID was still strong, we were like, we got to find our next step. And so that's when we had those conversations. And we were super excited when it all went down that now we could have it full time and kind of focus on it full time. I will credit COVID because I was in New York City doing the whole 9 to 5 and then taking the subway home 30 minutes and working on the Blitz at night. And that was kind of putting a lot of stress on me. Now, when you get to the work from home setting and I'm at home doing my 9 to 5 with ESPN, it became a lot easier to do things at night and have different conversations that I couldn't really have in a corporate office.
Yeah.
And so COVID helped in that sense. And yeah, it got to the point we were just burned out and we wanted to find our next opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And like how many different either VCs or media partners did you look at before deciding on, you know, Company 39 and what was ultimately Torch Pro?
Yeah, quite a few. I mean, like 4 or 5, I think, again, what stuck out so much was one, Matt Fornataro, the founder, and kind of his vision. And also the fact that we could retain ownership in the company, continue to like, it's our baby. So we didn't want to just give it up. And so that's what a lot of the other companies we talked to is they wanted to come in and kind of change the name, change the idea, change the product. And that's not really what we were looking for. And so I think it was like 4 or 5 companies.
And if you don't mind me asking, like, was there financial compensation? Did they like buy you out? Was it a backing? Like, how much, you know, do you still own? Are you still like a majority founder? Like, how does that all work in a deal like this?
Yeah, it's a good question. So with Torch Pro, how it happened, we brought the Morning Blitz under the umbrella. We got a small sum for the newsletter acquisition. And then it was really an equity play for us. So we retained pretty large ownership in the overall company of Torch Pro. Mm-hmm. And so that's what was most exciting to us. And so with that being said, we also had full-time salaries as well. It was part of a funding round. So in the round, we raised a total with Torch Pro, I think $1.5 million. And that wasn't just towards the Morning Blitz, right? That was towards this new brand of Torch Pro, what we were trying to accomplish. Okay. So there's a lot of different aspects of the acquired company and movement. But that's what it kind of came down to is there's equity in the company still. There's a small cash sum for the Morning Blitz acquisition and salaries.
That's awesome. And how has the Blitz changed at all since the acquisition? And like, how have you, what's been different? You know, it's I think only been a couple of months now, you know, March or maybe February that it was like official. Yeah. So how have the last few months been under the new umbrella and managing it there? Like, have you seen any sort of changes and what does that feel like?
Yeah. So honestly, not a ton. The products really stayed the same and I think it will forever because that's the product people latch onto. And so I think it's always going to be SportsCenter and email. But with that being said, we now are attached, like I said earlier on, to the name of Pro Athletes and they're promoting us and having all these different connections in that world. So that's been really exciting for us. Mm-hmm. I think the brand itself Torch Pro is more, not serious, but it is more serious. And Morning Blitz, we like to have a little more fun and you can tell on our different social media pages. So if you go to Morning Blitz, there might be some more memes, some more funny videos, whatever it may be, versus the Torch Pro, which really we like to say are inspiring the next generation. And so it's hard to do that through different memes and whatnot. Yeah. But yeah, so the product itself hasn't changed much, but the brand and the vision has a much larger meaning to it, I think, now under the umbrella of Torch Pro.
Got it. And what is that vision? Like, where do you see it as the founder in a year, in 3 years, 5 years? Like, how do you want to continue to build it out?
Yeah. So in regards to the Morning Blitz, I think it can be that home where just millions of people are coming and they're no longer watching maybe even the games and whatever it may be, and just having that, growing our email list as large as possible is the ultimate goal of the Morning Blitz. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be really crucial, or the athletes are going to be really crucial for helping us get to that goal. Because any athlete talking about things in the world of influencer marketing is so huge now. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to help push us to that next level.
Got it. Okay. So the goal really, you know, 5 years down the road, you're seeing it as like, all right, I want 10 million people reading the Blitz every morning. That's ultimate goal.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we can get there. There's been some crazy newsletter acquisitions over the past year. In terms of, and their sizes are huge and whatnot, and just the world of sports, everyone's a sports fan. So what we like to say is, like, we keep the diehards in check, and the casual fans in the know. So I think our content, like, is pretty it varies pretty wide to a bunch of different demographics, whether it's the male, whether it's female, someone trying to learn more, whoever it is. I think we touch a lot of different people.
Got it. And like, what are some of those other email newsletters that have kind of like led the way for you and inspire like the work that you do? Do you look to other, are you guys constantly looking at other newsletters for inspiration, or how do you think about that piece?
Yeah, I think I have a junk email that is subscribed to about 50 newsletters that I get every single day.
I just recently had to clean out my email subscriptions again. So I was like, I don't know where I subscribed all these, but it's getting overwhelming.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, I have a ton of different newsletters, and I open as many as I can just to see what they're doing. Maybe it's their format, maybe it's how they're working with brands. But in terms of specific newsletters that kind of have helped us grow early on was, so Front Office Sports, I don't know if you've heard of them or
what was
or
it?
That brand, Front Office Sports.
Yeah, okay.
So they're a sports business newsletter, and we got in touch with their founders really, really early on when we started our newsletter. And they were just super helpful. Adam White, the CEO, of just how to grow a newsletter. And so I will credit them to just being really helpful early on, not really looking at us as a competitor. But they've been really helpful to us besides the other 50 newsletters that I secretly read.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then I'm also, like, you mentioned working with brands. How has that become part of this process? Like, in those early days, were you always like, okay, we got to get sponsors in here, we got to figure out how to monetize this? Or like, how long, at what point did you decide, all right, let's get some ads in this thing?
Yeah, it wasn't much of a focus early on. No brand's going to pay for advertisements and something that's getting a few hundred impressions. So we didn't really worry about it. I'd say the past year is when we really started to focus on brand partnerships. I think one thing brand partnerships does is it really shows your audience that, again, you mean business, like you're a real company and you're a legit product. And so that was really one of the biggest important things for us. And then once we started working with these brands, we kind of became really fond of helping them grow as well and wanting them to hit their goals and their objectives. Mm-hmm. And so that's been really fun for me, something that I didn't realize would come along with the process. I'd always be like, oh, I just care about the Morning Blitz and whoever comes on our newsletter is just giving us money. But that wasn't really how it worked out. We've grown pretty close with a few brands, and we've loved the relationships that we've kind of cultivated.
That's cool. And as you thought about growing the newsletter and bringing in more subscribers, I feel like this is probably the age old question that like any entrepreneur or creative person asks, but like, what have been some of your techniques to grow and to bring people in? It sounds like you've done some cross promotion. You've done these things with brands, but what are some of the tactics that you've taken to continue to grow this thing?
Yeah, totally. I think one of the biggest things was kind of just putting ourselves out there, but being proud of our product, I guess, in a way, and just wanting to talk about it. We've had happy hours in the city before COVID and all this different stuff that really helped push the brand along. Being super, super active on social media has really helped us. So early on, a kind of funny story, I don't know if you've seen this in kind of your research before the call, but we got in touch with the UFC and Dana White. And so
that was question number one on my list was what's the Dana White connection? So yes,
Dana White connection is, it's a great story. But so Dana White basically went on this rant one day about how he looks at all of his comments on social media and reads every single one. So we're like, okay, let's take advantage of this. And so Dana White was for those that don't know, was a Boston guy. And we're Boston guys as well. So we commented on Instagram. We're like, hey Dana, we're a bunch of Boston boys trying to make it big, just like you, would love some help. And anyway, and we just threw it out there. And he kind of responded to that comment, just DM me. And that comment itself got like 10,000 likes or something and whatnot. We got a ton of follower traffic. And then we actually DM'd Dana and he responded right away. And so I think the first step in that relationship, there was a press conference in New York City for, I'm going to screw up the number, but I want to say UFC 244. So it was in New York City and we go to the event. We don't have press passes yet or whatever, but we're like, we DM Dana. We're like, hey, we're at the front of the line. Is there any chance you get us some credentials and get us on the ropes and ask these fighters some questions? And he goes, yeah, just go over to so-and-so. And so he lets us in. We go and sit down next to the ESPN writers, all the Fox, whoever it is. Yeah. And we have no business being there. And I was with Austin Smith and he kind of gets the mic for one of the questions and he gets up and he asked Nate Diaz, how can he call himself? And I know we can swear, but how can you call yourself a badass motherfucker? And that's like what Nate Diaz's image was.
Yeah.
When, and he said, how can you call yourself a badass motherfucker when you're a vegan? And so that just, the whole New York, like the people behind it started dying laughing. The video blew up on social media. We had all these media outlets like chirping us for not being legit people at the press conference. And some say earlier on in the process, all press is good press. So Dana also loved the comment as well. And so we asked a few more questions and that's kind of how that started. And so we always just kept in touch with Dana through the Instagram DMs. And a couple later on scenarios, we went on Instagram Live the past 2 years for the NFL draft. And he would come on for 15 minutes. We talk a little bit of Patriots football because we're both huge Pats fans. And so the relationship from there has just, it's grown just by putting ourselves out there a bit. It's been super fun. And so, and now we're in conversations with the UFC about talking to their athletes and how we can help market and grow their games as well through Torch Pro and the services we offer. So it's been really fun.
That's crazy. That is amazing. And I saw this year, again, you did like the NFL draft party with Dana White. Yep. Like, it's amazing.
Yep.
And like, okay, so out, you know, you sort of put yourselves out there. You have this magical moment with Dana White. Have you had any other experiments, I'll call them, that have like totally flopped? Let's go the other direction. Like that's one where you put yourself out there and you nailed it. Like it gains traction. You build on it. Yeah. Have there been other things that you've tried that you've been like, oh wow, that just like did not work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, honestly, nothing's sticking out like in my head right now, but there's been thousands of things that haven't worked. So I think it's just learning from those experiences, and just a big part about growing a brand is seeing what works and what doesn't. And those things that do work, you double down on them. So that's been a big part of our process, is kind of laying out all our objectives. How is this different campaign, whatever it may be, going to help us achieve our goal? And if it makes sense, we do it, and it works, we continue to do it. But there's been so many different things that we've tried that haven't worked, and we just never go back to it again. So nothing really standing out in terms of a giant flop, but I can definitely tell you there's been many.
Yeah, because I mean, it just seems in following along with you guys and seeing what you're up to, like you have a knack for experimenting. Like, how do you decide what's this is Morning Brew brand. This is something that we would do, and this is an experiment. It might feel outside of the walled garden, but like I'm gonna try it anyways. Like, how do you make those decisions? And is it more gut feel and like this feels right? This is a good idea. Let's do it.
A lot of gut feel. It is. But also like what's fun. Like we don't want to try things that aren't going to be fun. So anything that's fun, we feel like we'll be excited about and we'll really put the most energy into. And that's kind of where we've gone with that. And so, I mean, whether it's talking to new athletes or talking to different social media pages, there's been a lot of campaigns that we had a conversation with this account that had 5 million followers. They had to give us a swipe up, whatever it may be. We jumped through a bunch of hoops to get there. And I think we got like 5 subscribers from it. So it didn't work out. It wasn't the same type of brands. They didn't have the same audience that was going to be interested in our product. So whatever it may be. But yeah, I think when looking for new opportunities, kind of what I hit on in the question before, it's just like making sure like the return on what the time and effort is going to be worth the time. That's super important. You can't, as an entrepreneur, there's going to be a lot of different opportunities that come your way. And you can't do them all. As much as I like to say like networking and say yes mentality and have those conversations, there's going to be so many different opportunities that come your way that you do have to say no to, because it's just not worth your time. So it's to evaluate that, it's tough, but it's a lot of gut feeling.
How do you protect your time now that you're doing Torch Pro sort of during the day and Morning Blitz still at night? How do you build it? What does a day look like in Danny Healy's world these days?
Yeah. So my day, I've gotten into a pretty good routine here. I'll start with when I set my alarm, but set my alarm 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. So I'm not an early riser. 9 a.m. I'm committed to making a great breakfast, whatever it may be. Try to read 5 minutes of a book. Try to get a sweat in, get open, and open the laptop at 10:30 a.m. And so, from 10:30 to about 6 o'clock at night, it's all Torch Pro, everything. And so we're working with a team of people that is now 10 full-time employees. And I think that's, to answer your question, a huge part about how I help like secure and protect my time. Each person is awesome. They all have the same mentality of we're going to the moon and we'll do anything to get there. And so it's really just everyone has their own responsibility in the company. And so they now, instead of doing everything and wearing every hat, there's now people in the company that have certain hats and take on the certain responsibilities, which has been absolutely massive, that we hadn't seen when I was first doing the night grind with my day job. So that's huge. But in terms of finishing up my day, kind of 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock rolls around, get dinner, whatever it may be, quick 30 minutes, and then it's back to the computer, maybe finishing up more Torch Pro stuff, and I'll really dive into morning blitz duties at about 10 p.m. at night. And so from 10 p.m. to about 1:30, 2 a.m. is the morning blitz. And so I get those seven hours in. But yeah, that's kind of the day in the life of me.
Okay. All right. That's a newsletter media person schedule if I've ever heard one. How has it been for you personally? Obviously you're a huge sports fan. You played college lacrosse. Now you're in this space where you're consistently on a day-to-day basis, like working with professional athletes, former professional athletes. What has that been like for you to have that like incredible exposure to all of these superstar athletes?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, at 24 years old, like a lot of the people we work with, there's a lot of people I looked up to as a kid, growing up playing sports. So you got to pinch yourself at times. And in my role at the company, I work very closely with the athletes. And so it's a weird, sometimes it's weird. You gotta pretend to not be overly excited. You can't be the jock sniff. You gotta kind of pretend to be their friends. So it's been a little learning curve for me, but I think I've gotten there. To just not be overly excited when I'm talking to these athletes on Zoom or text or whatever it may be. But it's been awesome. I think that's the biggest thing that I've woken up every day and be like, this isn't really a job. And so it's been a ton of fun. And so that's been really, really special for me.
And so your responsibility is basically like sitting down with these athletes and helping them build out content strategies. I mean, you're the head of content now at this point to build out content strategies for how they can grow their brands.
Right, totally. So, kind of a process from the get-go. We go and pitch an athlete, and once they're signed on, they come and are introduced to me as their brand manager. And so, what I really like to do with them is kind of find a brand positioning statement. And what that really is what is one singular purpose that you want to accomplish in building your brand that we can then go develop a roadmap around. So, for instance, an example around this, we work really closely with Riley Sheehan of the Buffalo Sabres. His brand positioning statement is to grow awareness of mental health and mental health issues. And so he dealt with a lot of depression and anxiety throughout his career. And now he's at the point where he's comfortable talking about it and wants to share. So that's a wonderful starting point for someone like me, where I can then take that and then go develop a roadmap around that. So everything we do, we want to make sure it comes back to the objective of how can we help grow awareness for mental health. And so one of the examples of how we're doing that and how we're executing is now starting a podcast with Riley. So it's called Speak Your Mind, and we're building Riley a platform to go talk about mental health and have different guests on that have experienced things like that. So that's kind of an example of roadmaps. A roadmap can be totally different for every single athlete. They can all have different goals. Some just want to grow their social media following. We have to go find ways to do that. Some don't care about their social media. Some want brand partnerships. So whatever that goal may be, it's my job and to work with a team and kind of find a roadmap around it through, and we mainly like to do content creation. So we'll deploy our production team. They'll go to their home city and they'll shoot a bunch of content based around their brand pillars. So with Riley, we did a bunch of mental health shoots. And so that's kind of the foundation of their brand build. And then we build from there.
Got it. How many athletes are under your jurisdiction at the moment?
Yeah, so at Torch Pro right now, I think we have eight athletes, mainly in the NHL, hockey players with a few female hockey players that played on Team USA. So that's kind of where Matt Fornataro, the CEO and founder, And obviously with Joe Pavelski as a founder, their network is within the world of hockey. Mm-hmm. The world of hockey kind of is a little behind the curve in terms of doing things beyond the field. And that's kind of why we settled and want to own that space. But that being said, I think Torch Pro really wants to work with the undervalued athlete. Mm-hmm. So we're not going after the superstars. I guess the Tom Brady's of the world, the LeBron James, the Steph Curry's, they don't need Torch Pro services.
Yeah.
We want to help those new younger guys, someone who's not doing it yet, build their brand and start that process. So that's kind of how we approach bringing on new people.
Got it. And two-part question here. How are you thinking about using the athletes that are in the Torch Pro world right now to like push the morning blitz? Like, is that part of their deal? Like, okay, when you sign on here, you got to help us pump this. Like, how does that connection work?
Yeah. So there's no real deal. We don't want to force an agenda upon any of our athletes. It's really if they enjoy the product, then we can do more activations around it. So with Joe Pavelski, he's loved the morning blitz, and he's really just focused on hockey his whole life and hasn't had much exposure to these other sports that we're now talking about the morning blitz. So it's been a great way for him in the morning blitz to kind of learn more about the product. And we've done things with Joe, just whether it's Instagram lives, whether it's stuff on his social media, things like that. But these athletes have such extreme reach that we don't have on our own internal social media networks that we want to utilize. And so any athlete that wants to come and help promote the blitz is a huge plus, but there's no forced agenda on it.
Got it. Okay. Now, follow-up question is, if you were to have a billboard in Times Square, be able to put a morning blitz ad on there, what would it say? What would it look like? What's the one message that you'd want that Times Square billboard to say?
The one message that we would say, I think, would be everything you need to know about the world of sports in 5 minutes or less. That would be our slogan. In terms of the video and graphics around it, that is not my world. I rely heavily on our production team to come up with. But I think just letting people know that this is a product that you can easily find, and it's very skimmable. It's very fun and energetic, and it's really informative. Ever since moving away from that hot take style, I think it's become a real valuable tool for people. So just getting the message across that there's value in it while it's also a fun product to dive in with.
One thing I wanted to ask you a little bit about as well, like obviously the early days, you know, you did the podcast, then you know, you were kind of the, you know, one of the two people writing for the newsletter every day. How much do you put your personal state, like your personal brand on it? Like, hey, this is, you know, this is Danny writing. It seems like it's fairly, the newsletter now, there's not an author of it necessarily. It's not like written by X person. It's the Morning Blitz. That's what you get. How much do you put your personal brand into it versus trying to stay out of it and kind of like not be a person, media personality necessarily?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think within the newsletter, you're right, there's not one author, and that's the truth. There's 10 people in that letter every single night that contribute. But I will say, I find myself as a very energetic social person, and I like to kind of put that same energy into the newsletter when I'm writing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has the same bias of my Boston sports fan base or whatever it is. You won't find that in the newsletter. But I think you will find the same kind of personal energy that if people that know me well, that you will still find in the newsletter. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the branding and my personal brand has, if you go to my social media page, I'm all blitz all the time. And so I think that's kind of, I enjoy kind of telling people the journey and talking about what's going on and updates and whatever it may be, being loud about our athletes we're working with at Torch Pro. I think it's fun. So I think just like in terms of growing my personal brand, that's as far as an extent as it goes.
Got it. And as you guys, you know, you've said, and it's newsletter first, the goal is to make the newsletter the biggest thing out there. Is there an appetite to move into other forms of, you know, podcasting, video, live streams? Is that part of the plan, or are you really like laser focused? This is a newsletter thing first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, in any startup, it's important to be very nimble and ever-changing and be able to adapt with the times. And the world of media, I mean, things are going to change. But currently, I mean, we'd love to get a podcast going, like a two-minute drill, kind of almost basically like reading the newsletter, as well as having conversations about relevant topics in sports. But the sports podcast world is pretty crowded. So we like our niche right now within this newsletter world and email, but we're always open. We want to be nimble and we want to be able to adapt.
And as you think about growing the team or bringing on more people, you know, you have these great interns. Is there somebody or some, maybe not even like a specific name, but a type of person that you're like, you know what, if we had a killer this, that could really help elevate us to the next level?
Yeah, 100%. I think, again, being in the world of media, it's really, really important to be super clean on social media. And so that goes with having a great videographer. And so we have a great production team. We have great people on social, but just continuing to grow that aspect of our business and being really clean there, having a really uptight social, creating really cool shareable assets, that's mm-hmm. going to help us grow. So I think finding that and growing that role is going to be super essential for us.
Okay. All right. I'll finish off two questions for you. My rapid fire. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Oh, you're good. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Have you found over the years that you have like mystery, like celebrity readers or like people that you see sign up that you're like, oh shit, this person reads the Morning Blitz?
Yeah. Quite a few, honestly. And so one of the biggest, because I keep a pretty close eye on kind of the new daily subscribers that come onto the list. Mark Cuban is a reader. So that was pretty incredible. I think that had to do a little bit with me hounding and some DMs and whatnot. But that was pretty awesome to see. Justin Thomas on the PGA Tour is a subscriber. Okay. So we are a full-blown Justin Thomas newsletter. You might find a little Justin Thomas bias when we talk about golf.
Fair.
And then just like all the athletes that now we work with at Torch Pro, just kind of seeing their network of friends come on the newsletter that we haven't yet worked with at Torch Pro, but mm-hmm. have maybe found it through promotion on their social media. So it's just awesome to see. And kind of that's what kind of excites me every day to keep doing it, is just not just the notable subscribers, but just like everyone who reads the newsletter. It's mm-hmm. like, it's very clear that there's a strong base of people who really utilize this tool every single day. And so that's just why it's important for us to just continue to do it, because it feels like people are using it.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Cuban and Justin Thomas, those are two pretty, pretty big names right
I
there.
Know.
You did just spark another question for me, but what is your DM strategy? Are you just sliding into the DMs like crazy?
Hammering DMs. It's actually pretty important. I think just like trying to continue, like whenever you have downtime, it's just scrolling social media, you come across a cool page. It's, hey, you reach out, hey, we love what your content is. We'd love to find a way to partner and collaborate. I think it's just that easy. And if someone's interested and they have the same mindset as you of wanting to talk to more brands, you'll get a response. And then from there, you continue to find ways to execute on that next cross promotional step. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think hitting DMs is important. You're not going to make it to everyone's primary inbox, but it's definitely something to continue to do to grow your brand.
And you strictly Instagram, you go Twitter DMs, are you sliding into emails? Like are you all over the place?
Yeah. So I'm pretty consistent on Instagram. If I come across a page and they have contact information, I will hit their email. I will maybe even a phone call if they have their number right there in their profile. So I think any brand you come across on social media that has that information probably means they're willing to have those conversations, and it will be a lot easier to get in touch. Mm-hmm. And then another diving a little deeper and is like going to their followers. So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, do you have any mutual followers? And then if you do, how can you get in contact with them and be like, oh, do you know them? Can you get us in touch? And so just mm-hmm. continue to hound and dive as deep as you possibly can with those relationships is important.
I love that. I don't do it as much as I probably should or could, but I am an avid slide into the DMs. You have to. I'm like, I'm hunting for guests all the time. It's like, I think this person's interesting. I'd love to have them on. Yeah. So it's how many different ways can I hit this person on the internet before they finally either say no or come on my show?
Yeah. And there's no, I guess, minimum. There's no, like, you can hit someone 10 times, and if they see it every time, that's good. Just keep sending those DMs. Because eventually they'll either say stop, or they'll be like, all right, what's up, dude? Like, what do you want?
Yeah. And usually I feel like by the time you, like, I'm fairly confident, and it seems like you're the same way, that like once you get them in the door, once you get a yes or a hello, like I'm fairly confident that if somebody were to come on my show, they're going to have a good time. Or if somebody were to like begin to work with the Morning Blitz, like they would be happy with the partnership or with like meeting you and getting that experience. So,
yep, 100%. Just got to get them in the door somehow. And I'm very confident the team around us will do the necessary steps to make them come back for more.
Exactly. All right. So my last question, I end every show with the sign off of stay weird. So I've been starting this as my final question to ask all my guests. Danny, what makes you weird?
Ooh, I'm pretty weird, for sure. I mean, I really like what's weird, I think, is I really, really enjoy the like the grind. I really enjoy it. And I think that's important for like the business we're in. A lot of people, it's not like a bad thing, but some people just don't enjoy it as much. And so I'm not the type of guy that likes to just go watch TV, go watch Netflix. Like, if I'm not like doing something that's progressing the company along, and I'm not really happy, like I want to just continue to grind. So I guess that's kind of made me weird. It's been a long 2.5 years, and I think I've loved every second of kind of the roller coaster. And enjoying the roller coaster makes me weird. Every entrepreneur is going to have those up and downs. It's just part of the life cycle, and it's just about staying even keel. So enjoying that roller coaster, enjoying that grind that really isn't meant for everyone, I guess kind of makes me a little weird.
That is a wrap on this week's episode of Destination Different. Big shout out to Danny for joining me on this week's show. Like I said at the top, I could have talked to him for like 6 hours. Talking sports media, talking, creating a content, all of those things right in my wheelhouse. I could have talked to him forever. It's insanely impressive what he and his team are building at the Morning Blitz. I'm excited to follow along with him because I think this is, like we talked about, he is just scratching the surface with what this thing could be and how they could continue to grow it. You know, hasn't put any sort of paid advertising into it, has really just, you know, spread this thing through word of mouth and has grown it to the point where they're able to get acquired. Like that whole thing is just impressive. And so I'm excited to see where Danny continues to take the Blitz. And so we'll make sure that we get everything linked up in the description of this show. But it's Morning Blitz over there on Instagram. They've got some great content there. And you can sign up to the newsletter at the link in our description. That's all I got for this week. Again, like I said at the top, I'm looking to craft something with my Apple Pencil, a little design to create the first piece of Destination Different merch. If you have any ideas, send them my way because I am hitting a creative roadblock and could use some outside influence here. So if you got anything, t-shirt, hat designs, characters that could represent what the Destination Different World stands for, anything like that, shoot them on over. We'll be back again next week, next Wednesday, with another episode of Destination Different. Until then, stay weird.
Superpowers. We fell in love for just a couple hours. I can't tell the difference between what's fake and what's been missing. Often I'm misunderstood, so I'm looking for a better me. This is your love song, baby. I hope that you know the words. This is your love song, baby.